even though we get this gospel every year on the second, on Saturday of the second week, it's always a little bit surprising. It's short and it's blunt. And it ends up with the relatives of Jesus saying he's out of his mind. Well, it's a seed. Every word from the Bible is a seed. Here's a little seed. It's a mustard seed. It might seem like not much to it, but like every seed, if it's put into good soil, it can produce abundant fruit. So let's ponder this puzzling encounter between Jesus' relatives and he and his disciples. First of all, we wonder who these relatives are. Secondly, it's impossible for them even to eat. And then third, he's out of his mind. Well, now, before we can evaluate these, let's back up a little bit and realize that the terms impossible and out of his mind depend on what criteria we use. What's impossible? What does it mean to be out of one's mind? Well, it depends on your criteria. It depends on from what perspective you're approaching the question. Was it really impossible for him to eat? I mean, here's a man who could multiply loaves. Here's a man who could walk through a crowd of hostile neighbors without being harmed at all. He could easily have walked through this crowd of sick people looking for healing. Was it really impossible? I don't think we can say that about anything that is in the hands of God, because the scriptures make it very clear. Nothing's impossible for God. Was he out of his mind? Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask people who think that eating is the most important thing, or that rest is the most important thing, or that worldly reputation is the most important thing, well, yes, he's out of his mind. So are we. So are you. You're out of your mind sitting here on a Saturday morning listening to me. Are you out of your mind? But if we're not looking at it from that perspective, if we're looking at it from the perspective of heaven, you say, well, no, he's not out of his mind at all. He's doing exactly what he should be doing. He's doing the most sane, most perfect actions, because he's acting in perfect response to the will of the Father. He's exactly the opposite of out of his mind. So you see how different it looks depending on whether we're looking at it from an earthly perspective or a heavenly perspective. Now, the reason why I stress this is because today's first reading brings up this exact contrast or comparison between the earthly and the heavenly. This is the part of the letter to the Hebrews where the author is continuing to compare the old law, the old covenant, old priesthood, with the new law, new covenant, new priesthood. And here he's going into the old tabernacle and the new tabernacle. What was considered the most holy thing of all in the old law, and what's the most holy thing of all now that Christ has come. So he's making this comparison between earthly and heavenly. And in the earthly perspective, in the earthly description, there was a tabernacle, there was a holy place. Remember, this is during the time of Moses. The holy place was basically a tent. And inside this tent, there was another tent. That was the Holy of Holies, where they kept the tablets of the law. And they did it that way because God told Moses, be sure you have it set up this way. God gave Moses very specific instructions about how to establish a place for him, a place for God. Now, if you were a devout Jew at that time, it made perfect sense to set up a tent inside a tent in the middle of the desert. But if you were not a Jew and you were watching these people wandering through the desert, you would certainly say, they're out of their minds. What are they doing carrying around this box with stone tablets inside? What are they doing putting in tents in tents? Why do they consider that dry, barren, nothing space of a desert as holy when that one on the other side of the hill is not holy? They're out of their minds. See the difference? As though if we are looking at it from the way God reveals his will to us, it makes perfect sense to set aside times and places for God. If we are focused only on earthly realities, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, in the letter to the Hebrews, after describing the way it was, then he says, but now something new has come on the scene, Jesus Christ, the new high priest, and he has passed through the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made by hands. He's talking about heaven, things that come from heaven, not belonging to this creation. And he brought something earthly into this heavenly tabernacle. What was that earthly thing? His humanity, his blood, which is also our humanity. He brought our human nature into communion with the Father. That's why the blood of bulls and goats is no longer of any importance to us, because now the blood of Christ has been shed, and that's what redeems us. As I said, if you were looking at it from the perspective of no faith at all, even the blood of bulls and calves looks like you're out of your mind. But now we say we don't need blood of bulls and calves. We have the blood of Christ, and that looks like we're out of our minds, the people who don't believe in the redemptive power of the precious blood. Okay, so we have these two perspectives. Now let's go back to the gospel. There's a crowd, and then there's this evaluation that it's impossible to eat. I already said that nothing's impossible for Christ, especially not eating is not that hard to do. And then there's these relatives. Now, the relatives, the only relatives we know for sure are Mary and Joseph, the Holy Family, and that's not who's mentioned or indicated here. And it's not the people who are referred to as his brothers, because just a few verses after this, his mother and his brothers show up, and they want to see him. We're going to get that gospel reading in a couple of days. I think it's on Tuesday. So his mother and his brothers are a different group than this group referred to as the relatives. Now, that's why I said we wish we had more details about who these relatives are, but they're probably just people from Nazareth who are from the extended family of Mary and Joseph. And they say he's out of his mind. It's good to reflect on the experience of being judged out of your mind, because Jesus was accused of being out of his mind, his disciples were being accused of being out of their minds, and we also should be accused of being out of our minds. It's a normal part of Christianity. In fact, we even think that of ourselves. We have worldly perspective. The world is in us. And as soon as we make an effort to pray, fast, or give alms, you know, prayer, fasting, alms giving, as soon as we make an effort to dedicate some time or effort to God or to self-denial or to love of neighbor, something in us will rise up and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. What are you, out of your mind? And this is a daily experience. Maybe it doesn't come with this kind of bluntness, but every day, as we push ourselves to be disciples of Jesus Christ, it occurs to our natural mind that there's something weird about this. And it should happen every day. In fact, your decision to come here for Mass this morning should strike some part of your, I'm sure it does, strike some part of your nature as being a little bit weird. If it doesn't strike you that way, just ask the people who live in your house or people who know what you're doing. Somebody who knows that you're here right now thinks that you're a little bit out of your mind. You're wasting your time, that you're exaggerated, that you're too religious, that you're a little bit imbalanced. Somebody thinks that about you. Yesterday in the morning, I decided we had adoration all day yesterday, so I said, I'm going to make a holy hour. I like to make a holy hour anyway, but I decided I'd be more formal about it. Well, naturally, things came up. My schedule got interrupted. My time for the holy hour came up. I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I do this? In the middle of the day, I've got a lot of things to do. But I said, thanks be to God, my better judgment said, well, no, you said you're going to do this, so now do it. So I came here to the chapel, and the first probably 5 minutes of my time of what was supposed to be adoration was a wrestling with my own mind. What am I doing here? Why did I come here? But I have this agenda. But then after a while, my better judgment reawakened and said, well, I'm here for the Lord. What's more important? But you see that contrast between our natural perspective and the heavenly perspective is always going to be there. I say, so prayer, fasting, almsgiving. If you try to make an act of self-denial, even if no one else notices it, your nature will notice. Oh, you're giving up something, you're fasting from something, you're not doing something that's appealing to you. What, are you out of your mind? Yes. Yes. Meaning you're going beyond your natural mind. That's what metanoia means, right? Going beyond your mind. That's conversion. To be out of your mind is part of being a Christian. So prayer, fasting, almsgiving. What about your effort to love your neighbor? Doesn't it occur to you pretty quickly that so-and-so is not grateful, so-and-so doesn't deserve the time and attention you're giving him, the people don't even notice all the effort you're putting into it, this is too expensive, whatever. Whatever you try to do something for the good of others, you make the good of others higher than your natural preference, something in you will say you're out of your mind. And it's true. If you're going to use that criteria, it's true. So we say, well, okay. Okay. It's okay to be out of your mind. As long as you are in the mind of Christ, it's okay to go beyond what is natural to you, or even to oppose what is natural to you, or to disregard what is expected of you by your family, by your friends, by your culture. It's okay. As long as you are doing what is right in the mind of God. What is true, what is just, what is holy. That's what Jesus Christ does, and that's why he's accused of being out of his mind. Well, that's what we should do. And accept part of the fallout, part of the consequences, kind of like a chain reaction. Somebody, somewhere, is going to think that you're out of your mind. Well, that's part of the territory. Just accept it. Thanks be to God.